Thursday morning, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. Maybe you're headed to Agribition, day number three today. It's free rodeo night tonight. Always packed house at the Brand Center. It is rush seating as well. Because it's free, you just basically grab the seat you get when you get there, so you might want to get there a little bit early. And as I've mentioned a couple of times, we'll be broadcasting live tomorrow from Agribition. So if you are down there tomorrow between 8:30 and 12:30 while the show is on, I'd encourage you to stop by our booth. We're at the Saskatchewan Cattle Association booth right in the International Trade Center, the main hallway. Love to see you pop down. By the way, if you are on the road today, take care. The texts still keep coming in about the fog out there, thick fog, Highway 12 north of Blaine Lake. Got a text on that this morning. And my next guest who's joining me in studio said, yep, it's still foggy out there. Lauralee Davies is the acting chief of police for the Regina Police Service, and we have our regular monthly check-in with RPS this morning. Lauralee, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I was out at Agribition on Monday for the burning of the brand.
The burning of the brand.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I love it. And I'm actually planning on heading down there this afternoon and walking the barns.
I was chuckling at the news story I saw. The Lieutenant Governor Bernadette McIntyre, she was jacked up to be doing the burning of the brand. And then she was at on the interview that I saw, I get to keep it. They're going to give it to me. She was pretty excited.
She was very excited, and she said, hey, I grew up by Bethune on a farm, so this is, this is in her wheelhouse.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. Lots of different things to cover. I'm going to look back a little bit here for a couple of these stories, and then we'll talk about some current crime trends as well. But the last time I had you on was literally 2 days before Halloween. Halloween, we heard some disturbing stories about candy that had metal found in it, and I think you had three cases that you were investigating on behalf of citizens in the city. Did they turn out to be legit?
So yes, you're right. We had three reports, which obviously it is very disturbing. They were in completely different areas of the city. So, you know, for us, that was, we'd be a little bit more concerned if it was within one small area, because then we're thinking, okay, this is targeted. And looking at it, it looks to me like it was something maybe manufacturing. I know they described the metal item as something that looked like maybe a needle or possibly a staple. So we are, we're actually reaching out to the manufacturer. They are all through the same brand, just to see if there was something that they could highlight for us, and we're still working on that. So I don't think it was something that was intentional. At least there's no evidence at this point to point to that.
Okay. Lauralee Davies is my guest, the Regina Police Service Chief of Police. Robert Semenchuk, who is a former member of the Regina Police Service, I was chief when this investigation started around misuse of company computer systems and ultimately using computer systems to foster relationships with members of the public. He pled guilty this week to using police databases to pursue intimate and personal relationships with women. I know this is before the courts, but anything that you can share there, this is obviously something that has an impact on the police service.
For sure. I mean, from our perspective, obviously, we're pleased to see that it is moving through the courts. We know that sentencing will take place in January, and so we will provide sort of more information once that sentencing takes place. We don't want to jeopardize anything in terms of the case and sentencing. So happy that it's moving along. It has been, as you've indicated, a long process, and so we'll be happy to see that all wrapped up in January.
I heard the story yesterday about RPS called to birds being butchered in the southeast part of the city. What was that all about?
Yeah, pretty bizarre. Not something that we respond to very often at all. It was a number of chickens and I think a duck or two. Someone was concerned that, there was a large number of them. We had somebody out. We did an investigation. It turns out it was lawful. It was for human consumption. You know, similar to a group of people getting together and making sausage, this was a bunch of people getting together and butchering chickens. So there wasn't anything criminal, but certainly we responded to it, took a look at it, but nothing to be concerned about.
So nothing for police. Are there any like offshoot investigations that will stem from this, or is this literally
that's it? We're just
bizarre.
It was very strange.
Okay. And the last thing, again, looking back over the last couple of weeks that I wanted to talk to you about is this swatting incident. Maybe explain first what swatting is. Not something we dealt with much in our province.
No, for sure. So when somebody calls in, makes essentially a false report that causes police to act on it in an emergency manner. So in this instance, it was that there was a firearms offense, somebody was in danger. And so, you know, obviously we take that very seriously. We responded to the incident. It was not based at all, in fact, not a legitimate address. Obviously, we went to an address. We forced entry into the address. Unfortunately for the people who lived there, you know, there was nothing going on. Yeah. And so, you know, obviously very traumatic for them. And so through investigation, we were able to figure out who had called us initially and lay some charges. And it really was around misusing police resources, right, and having us respond in a way that wasn't at all legitimate. So, you know, a couple of concerns for us there. Number one, obviously, we're tying up emergency resources for something that isn't occurring. And the other piece of it, too, is, you know, obviously for the people that were impacted on that call, very traumatic. So we were happy we were able to lay charges on it and certainly don't want to see any more of those instances, but certainly remind people that even if they think it's funny or it's a joke, that there are criminal charges to lay as a result.
When we had that story in the news, I saw a couple of texts on the text line saying, I can only imagine there's an expense to this. I hope that that is taken into consideration in the court case. There would be, because there would be people that have to be emergency services called out to be used for this.
Absolutely, for sure. And then you think about, you know, in terms of a damage to the property as you know, making our way into that, thinking that, you know, there was something emergent and awful happening. So, yeah, there's, you know, many facets to it. The cost, obviously the resources, and then you think about the trauma involved. So not good on any scale, and certainly if somebody was considering it, we would urge them not to, that there really is a serious implications and criminal charges that can result.
Mm-hmm. Laura Lee Davies is my guest, the acting chief of police for the Regina Police Service. Yesterday was your monthly board of police commissioners meeting, and I know you usually do a crime stat update at that meeting. Can you give us a sense? We're getting close to the end of the year now. How are we doing? Have we got some positive trends? And I know there's some pressure points.
For sure. So I would say overall, crime is trending in the right direction. We're down almost 16% compared to the same time last year, and that's both in violent crimes and property crimes. So really good. Again, the couple pressure points, arsons, we're still seeing a small increase on that. The large majority of those fires are bin fires, sort of nuisance fires, but obviously they can escalate to something that can be a lot more dangerous. And then homicides, obviously, this year we're trending very high.
Where are we at right now?
We are at 11 so far this year. You know, the small solace, I would say, is we've laid charges in all of those instances. And so, you know, the fact that we're working very hard to ensure that the people committing these violent crimes in our community are held accountable is important to us as a police service. And homicides are one of those things that, as you know, year over year, you can't really predict. Mm. Some years are low, some years are high. But there's nothing in sort of the causation of these that leads us to think that there's some sort of trend or there's a relationship. It's just purely one of those things that we can't predict.
You know, we often, when you think about homicides, I know through the years we've talked about, well, this number of them were related to drug related issues. This was domestic. You know, do you have kind of those pockets that you look at this year and you see those types of relationships?
I would say drugs, gang involvement, and domestics as well. All of those are factors. And, you know, there are some that are just mm-hmm. the random kind of, you know, incident gone bad as well. So, but nothing, like I said, that, you know, would point to one area being overly of concern. And I think there isn't anything that's sort of out of line in what we've seen in previous years. So, you know, for our investigative units, obviously gang interdiction is always important, always work that we're doing on a daily basis. And the same with drugs. Obviously, we know when people are trafficking drugs in our city that violence also follows that. And so having our drug unit conduct those big lengthy investigations with arrests is important as well. Mm-hmm.
Chatting with Laura Lee Davies. Speaking of drugs, we're almost up against our first break here, but I did see a text the other day. There's been a couple of times, happened in Regina, happened in Saskatoon, where there have been warnings put out saying there's bad drugs in the city. They're causing serious health concerns or maybe even death, overdose death. Please be aware of this. the texter was asking, do those warnings work? Because clearly those warnings are issued at the people that are doing the drugs. Do you have any sort of anecdotal evidence to help? Are those things helpful?
I don't know. You know, I think there's a few things. It's situational awareness, I would say, for first responders, knowing that if we're getting those types of calls, that, you know, there likely is a high likelihood of, you know, a bad outcome. And so if we're able to be quick in our response, you know, I think for service providers in our community who, for instance, you know, safe consumption sites or people that are working in that space, I think is situational awareness for them as well. And certainly, you know, those folks are the people on the ground who can best share that information with the people who are in the grips of addiction and have some real success in terms of that communication. But I don't have any statistics or anything like that that would say, yeah, this is this is saving lives. I think that, you know, it's always good to get out as much information as possible.
We're going to take a break. Acting Chief Laura Lee Davies with the Regina Police Service is our guest. When we come back, we are a couple of weeks away from the Regina budget being discussed. And I know budget details often are held close until after that discussion. But I am curious to know, have you been asked to tighten the belt, given the fact that the early numbers thrown out, just under 16% for the city, I think caused a lot of shock. Also, I know you went out and worked the night shift recently, so I want to hear how that went and what your takeaway was from that. More with Laura Lee Davies when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
Police on my back, they would catch me if I dare drop back. Come and give me all the speed.
Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Joined today by the Regina Police Service Acting Chief of Police, Laura Lee Davies. So budget is coming up in a couple of weeks. This is, I know, the culmination of weeks of meetings. I can remember those days. I still have the jitters from them, actually. But were you asked, I know you won't want to get into specifics yet, but were you asked to tighten the belt?
So we had preliminary discussions with our board, and we said, like, literally we started budget, you know, the day after budget was passed, because it was later this year, because of the election.
Oh, the election. That's right.
Yeah. So we started our budget meetings in March, right after the 2025 budget was passed. But we literally went line through every single line of our budget and said, what is a need? What is a want? And so when we presented to our board, we said, like, we have done all this work already. There is no fat in here. There is no, this would be nice. It is essentially what we need. And so, you know, we will take any recommendations you have, but, you know, this is as lean as it gets in terms of presenting the numbers to you. And, you know, our board ultimately approved our budget, and then it'll go to council here in the next couple of weeks.
Right. So. Yeah. It's a bit of a long process. The one point that I often remember making is, through the years, while the police budget has gone up in dollar value, it also has gone up proportionate to the city's budget. Can you give us a sense? It usually hovers around the 20% of the overall city budget.
Yeah, so I think we've forecasted this year we're about 18% of the budget. We've kind of the last few years have been around that 18% mark. And so, you know, I appreciate that the police budget does take a big chunk of the city overall budget. But we hear from our community on the daily basis on how community safety and public safety is important to them. And so, you know, like I said, we didn't come into this budget with fat on it. It's essentially what we need to keep the doors open, to keep our 24/7 operation going. And so we're cognizant. We respect that the city has some tough decisions to make. So we look forward to the discussion. We look forward to hearing how it goes. But certainly we've put a ton of work into it to ensure that what we're bringing forward is responsible and balanced.
Right. You worked the night shift recently. I heard the feedback from a few frontline members. Hey, the chief was out. She was working the night shift, which I just think is such good leadership. Just talk about that, why you did it and the value of it and how tired you probably were the next day.
Well, it actually turned out to be a perfect opportunity. I was actually catching a flight Saturday morning at 5 o'clock. And so I said, hey, I'm going to come in. I'm going to work the night shift. I'm going to go straight to the airport, jump on the plane and take my flight. So, it seemed like a good idea in principle.
At the time.
Yeah, for sure. But it was great. It was, fantastic just to have those casual conversations with members. I spoke to them in detailing before we went out, and they're like, oh, well, like, how long are you staying? A couple hours? I'm like, oh, no, I'm here till, you know, 4 o'clock. Yeah. So it was good. And of course, as it would always turn out, they're like, oh, well, it's not very busy tonight compared to other nights. And I said, that's okay. That gives us.
And the reason they say that is because they want you to see how busy it normally
absolutely.
Is.
Right. I said, I every 12 hours, I get the report on how many calls of service. I know how busy you are. So let's just enjoy this night in terms of the fact that we're not flying around call to call to call, and that you have a little bit of a time to do traffic stops and proactive. So I went out with one of the supervisors. It was great. I had said, you know, one of the things I wanted to see was the complex needs emergency shelter and how that process works for our members. So we were able to do that. Super seamless, a really quick handoff to the professionals there to be able to help those folks. So that was really great.
How often is that facility being used? Is it every day our officers are taking people there?
For sure, every day. And in fact, in October, I think we took about 150 people there. So I would say primarily for our folks that work in downtown, they're sort of running into the folks who have more complex needs for sure. And so it was really great just to see, you know, they're in a place that's safe. They're receiving good care there. They get to talk to an addiction specialist. And so and in fact, our frontline said we're actually getting people that ask, can you transport us there?
Okay.
Because they know that it's a safe place for them to be. So
really
good. And then, just lots of good conversations with the officers. We drove a lot of the areas that we know were kind of hot spots for crimes. We chatted with a gentleman for about 15 minutes. There was a address where we tend to see encampments pop up. We were driving by. He came out with his flashlight, talked to us about 15 minutes about the issues that he's facing, you know, with that encampment close to his property. And, you know, it was good to hear about it from his perspective, but really just a great chance to interact with our officers out on calls and, you know, pop by a traffic stop when they're out there. I was tired the next day, but it was 100% worth
That's it. That's so good. Did you do any paperwork?
No, there was no paperwork.
You didn't have to write a report?
I know. Well, they were saying, you know, you're coming on a ride-along. I'm like, hey, this isn't a ride-along.
Yeah, I get it.
This is a work-along. And I said, hey, the passenger always takes the first report, but there was no paperwork for me to do.
Okay. Just quickly here, we're just about at the end of our time, but Black Friday coming up, which means a lot of people shopping. And, of course, on our radio station, I always like to encourage people to shop local. But I do know packages are showing up on doorsteps probably now, between now and Christmas, at a greater rate than normal. Porch pirates, a thing you deal with?
Yeah, absolutely. This time of year, the number of reports we get clearly goes up. Safety things, if you can, you know, arrange for a pickup, have someone at home. We get lots of video from doorbell cameras about somebody coming up and taking their packages. Encourage people to report those crimes so we can hold them accountable.
Or you could be like Kevin at the office here and have all of his packages delivered to work.
See, that works too.
Laura Lee Davies, thank you so much for popping in. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again just before Christmas.
Sounds great.
Regina's Acting Chief of Police, Laura Lee Davies, with the Regina Police Service. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Rent control is the next topic of discussion. We've got a guest talking about their thoughts as an organization on whether or not it's the way to go. Coming up next here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.